Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will be beginning from the very bottom of Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis. We notice a triangle which indicates that we're in the middle of a series of questions that lasts until Daf Ayin. This series actually started quite a while ago, and we had spoken about it in a previous shiur. Before getting into the actual question at hand, which has to do with Maseches, it might be worth our while to review the previous question, because the Gemara will be making a point based on information that was contained therein. So we saw at the previous triangle, Reb Shimon ben Pazi asking about a stalk of grain, a shibboleth, that had developed a third before the Omer. The Omer, as everyone knows, is matir the chodesh. It is matir. It allows one to benefit from the new crops. So we had a new crop that had developed a third before the Omer. It was uprooted and then replanted after the Omer. And after it was replanted, it grew more. The Gemara there asked, do we focus on the Iker? And the Iker had already received the heter of the Omer, because it had developed a third prior to the Omer when the Omer was brought, so it's matir, that original third. It had developed a third, and the Omer was maturit. So when it's replanted, you're in effect replanting something that is mutter. And then the additional growth may be traced back to that which is mutter, so there's no problem in benefiting from that from that additional growth. Or it may be that we focus on the toisefes, on the additional growth. And if that be the case, so one will have to observe the Isser of Chodosh with regard to that additional growth. Now we turn to our question. Bottom line of Samach Tesomet Beis, Boi Rova, Le'inyin Meiser Mai. Regarding the Meiser tithe, what is the din? Hechidomi, well, what are we speaking about? What's the case? Kegon de Amdinu. Amdinu is an estimate. We're talking about someone estimated what would amount to a tenth of his sheaves, the asrinhu, and he then tithed them. He took off the maaseres, the shaslinhu, and then he took the tithed, in other words, the chulin sheaves. He replanted them, the hosifa lahu, and they grew more. They increased in growth. Our topic heading that we offer in our Gemara markings Shas Ozer, outside margin, we see something entitled Nosei, and we've written in Shibboleth She'iser, a stalk of grain that was tithed, V'hoder Shosto, and then was replanted, V'hosifa, and increased in growth, increased in size. Mahu L'inyan Hafrosha Al Ho'ikr Od Pam. What is the halacha with regarding the need to mafrish, the need to tithe again the original quantity? So let us now continue in the Gemara. So we have this stalk of grain that had been tithed. It was replanted, increased in growth. Im Timtza Lomar, if we say Lo Azlinin Boser Ikr, the Tosefes Boi Isri, if we say that we don't we don't define or determine things based on the original stock. The original stock had been tithed. And granted, we don't say that the entire stock is determined by the original stock that was planted. And the increased growth needs its own tithing. Iker mai, what is the story with regard to the original stock, the original quantity that's on this stock that has now increased in growth? What about the original amount? Amale Abaye. Abaye asks, why are you asking this question to begin with? Maishno mikol chiti v'sari de'amo. What's the difference between this case and all cases of wheat and barley that one plants? After all, one harvests a crop. He tithes the crop. He then has barley grains and wheat grains, and eventually he replants, or he plants them to develop a new crop. In those cases, you have to do a complete tithing, and you don't take into consideration that the original seeds had been tithed. So too over here, you have to, the assumption is, according to Abaye's question, that you have to do a complete tithing, and you don't make any discount for the fact that the original stock had been tithed. Amale, Rava responds that there is room for my question. Rava was the author of this question. He says, "Dovar shezaroi kala lo libayali." A planting where the seed that's put in the ground disappears. That's zaro kala. Kala means finishes off. It simply disintegrates in the development of the new plant. That is no question. That's obvious that you have to do a new complete tithing. Elokei komibayali, the question that I am raising, dover she'en zaro kala mai. We're talking about this stalk that was had developed and after it developed, it was tithed, and then the developed stalk was replanted. So the original grains that were on the stalk are still there. So that's an example of Dover She'ein Azaro Kola. What is the din with regard to the Iker, to the original amount? Does it need a re-tithing? So the Gemara asks, well, tifshot lei, why not conclude the question, in other words, respond to the question, mehod yom Rabbi Yitzchok, om Rabbi Yochanan, from Rabbi Yitzchok's teaching, litra botzel, shetikno. Litra is an amount. Amount of botzel is often translated as onions. That shetikno, that were tithed. And a botzel is an example of something that is dover she'ein zaro kola. The original onion that's put in the ground to increase in size, but the original bulb, if you will, is still there. So you have botzol that was tithed and was replanted, v'zaroi, mis'aser lefi kulo. You have to, when eventually you harvest the botzol crop, you have to tithe a tenth of the entire amount. You don't offer any discount. You don't discount in the tithing the fact that the original bulbs had been tithed. So we see from here, shouldn't we be able to see from here, that something where it's ein zaro kola, the ikur as well, the original quantity that had been tithed, needs to be tithed again. So the question is why not answer the question with this information, with Rav Yitzchok's teaching? So the Gemara answers why we don't answer with that. Hasam hainu zri'oso. In the botzel case, that's the way they are planted. That's the normal way. That's the normal development. And as such, it's considered a new planting. That's not the case. Hacha lav hainu zri'oso. Which with regard to the stalks, that's not the normal way of developing a wheat or barley crop. The normal way is to put seeds in the ground. In this case, he put a stalk in the ground, and here the question is, what about the ikur? Omar le Rav Chanina bar Menumi la Baye. up till this point, we may point out that Rava's question has not been answered. He raised a question regarding the replanting of a stalk of grain, and it remains unanswered for the time being. The Gemara goes on with something that will in effect tie in to Rava's question, but for the time being it appears to be something new. So Amale Rav Chanina bar Menyumi la'Abaye. Otzitz she'eno nokuv. Milo nokuv. Mahu. The question is, someone was mafresh, one tithe from a planter or a flower pot that had vegetables growing in it. It was an unholed flower pot. It's called an otzis sheino nokuv. An otzis sheino nokuv in general is viewed as something that is not attached to the ground. It's therefore not something that is chayav midoraisa in hafroshes. What he did was he tithed from crops growing in one unholed planter to cover crops growing in another unholed planter. Well, to that, the Abaye responds and says, well, holo nokuv. It's you're going from one on the other to like situations, and it's a very good hafrosha. It's a fine, reasonable, kosher hafrosha. That's called being mafrish min hapotur al hapotur. Tithing from something that is exempt from the Torah to cover something else that's exempt from the Torah. What are you asking then? You seem to be raising something, a point that's totally obvious. Dilma, so Abaye goes on to say that Dilma Chozar v'Nokvoi Ko'amris. Maybe what you're asking about is a planter that something started growing in it. And in the course of its growth, you then punched a hole in the bottom of the planter. Your question, we can see it in Rashi's explained a little more elaborately. Rashi, Dilma, Benichusa. In other words, the comment here is a suggestion that is made. Chozar v'nokvo kwamris. A flower pot where the plant started growing. And in the course of its growth, you then made a hole in it. Dehochikom v'ayalon. If you have an unholed flower pot and the grain grew partially, and then you made a hole in it, mahu laasure mineu bei, can one mafrish from that plant on itself? In other words, if it's you take a tenth of the growth off to serve as a hafroshes meiser. The intim salomar lo azlinan bosur ikur. Now, if you say that you don't define matters according to the original, the toisefes shegodol achar nekiva boy asuri, and the subsequent growth that grew after the hole was made requires a tithing because now it's a holed flower pot. Hilkoch lo motzi asuri mino ikur ala toisefes. He won't be able to tithe from the original growth which grew before the hole was made. And as we said before, something that grows in a pot that does not have a hole in it is not considered attached to the ground, and therefore isn't chayav, isn't obligated on a Torah level to have a hafrosha done from it. So if you say that we don't follow the ikur and emphasize rather the additional growth, if the additional growth needing a tithe, you won't be able to mafrish from the ikur on the tosefes, from the original growth to cover the original growth to cover the additional growth. The have leim in apoter alachiv, that would be a problem of using a plant that's exempt, in other words, the original growth is exempt, to cover something that is obligated. Oy, Dilma, Iker Nami Mechayev. It could be that the original growth is also Chayev. The Zil Basar Tosefes L'Chumra L'Chayev Esu Iker. Because we determine the identity of the plant by the additional growth to serve as a stringency, to thereby obligate the original to be tithed as well. Now, if you say that you define the plant by the additional growth, and therefore bind the original, let's say that again, if you define the plant by the additional growth, and thereby obligate the original to be tithed, and then you could mafresh from the plant itself to remove a certain percentage of that plant itself to exempt it. Now, at this point, Rashi shows how the sugya ties in. This question seems to be like the Rava question from before. A flower pot that there was original growth in it while it was unhulled, and then in the middle, it was then hulled, made a hole was punched in it. Mahu litrom miloi nokuv mimashigodo koidem hanekiva al mashigodo laachar nekiva. Can one tithe from that which grew before the nekiva, before the hole was made, on that which grew after the hole was made? So this the parallel then would be to Rava's question. Was you had a stalk that had been tithed, was replanted, then there was additional growth. Can you mafresh from the original growth to cover the from the original growth to cover the additional growth? So we turn back to the Gemara after Abaye had suggested to Rav Chanina bar Menyumi that maybe what you're talking about is the unhulled flower pot that in the interim was made into a hold, an otzitz nokuv. So the Gemara continues, Amalei heim. Yeah, he says that is what I was talking about. Amalei. So Abaye says back, well, hainu hach de Rava, then your question is the same as Rava's question. So that, in effect, your question is superfluous, because Rava already raised this question. And the issue being something that started off with a ptur, an exemption, and then subsequently there was additional growth. Can one tithe from the original growth because of the influence of the additional growth on the original? Since the additional growth needs to be tithed, it therefore possibly causes the whole plant to need a tithing. So just like that analysis was raised in Rava's question, that's the same thing that you are asking about right now. Omar Lei, so Rav Chanina says back, no. My question concerning the otzitz sheino nokuv and then was subsequently made into a otzitz nokuv is different than Rava's case. Hocha chada zriya hi ichburi hu deka michbura v'oila. The flower pot situation is really one continuous growth. And that you, when making the hole in it, you thereby attached it to the ground, and therefore the Iker and the Tosefes may require a hafrosha, because it's considered one growth. Hasam shtei zrios ninhu. In the case of Rava, the shiboles, the stalk that had grown, was subsequently tithed and then replanted, is considered two separate plantings. Now we look at Rashi, who refines this. Rashi chado zriyohi, ve'achshav kishenokfa, hi demascheles lahashrish. And now when the hole was made in the flower pot, It's starting to take root. The hole creates a connection to the ground. Avogabi baya de Rava, Shtei Zrios Hain, the Shibolas, in Rava's case, Rava's question, it really involved two separate plantings of that stalk. Hilchoch itzrich le lemivi, therefore Rava needs to ask, I hodar mechaivole toisefes leker, does the additional growth in that case mechaev the original in a new hafrosha, the mehadar asuri, or no? So what happened in this Gemara is Rava opened up the Gemara with the replanting of a stalk of grain. Rav Chanina inserted into this discussion the case of the otzitz sheinu nakuv that was subsequently made into an otzitz nakuv. Abaye said to Rav Chanina, what you are raising, what you're asking about, seems to simply be a repeat of Rava's question. To that, Rav Chanina said, no, what I'm talking about is not a repeat of Rava's question, because the case of the flower pot essentially is one continuous planting. The case of Rava is analyzed as two separate plantings. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a triangle indicating a new question. Boy, Rebbe Avo, Shiboilis Shemircha Bekri, Vishosla, Vikora Olel Shem Bemechubor Mahu. Rabbi Avo describes a stalk of a grain that was miruach was done to it. That's a process where the pile of grain is smoothed out. It was then, and that is a gemar malocha. Miruach is a gemar malocha for the tithing of maisers. So miruach was done. It was then replanted, and he then proclaimed it to be truma. He declared it as a tithe. When did he declare it? B'mechubar, when it was attached to the ground. Mahu, is this considered truma or not? Two sides of the question. Aleph, kevan de mircha, tov lala, since the miruach was done, it creates the tevel status. Tevel status is the state of crops before, and it was after they've become obligated in tithing, prior to the actual tithing. So since the miruach was done, the shame tevel is established. Ki korla shame, kotshala, when he then proclaims it to be truma, it becomes truma, oy dilma, or possibly kevon de shasla, since he replanted it, poka le tivla mine, the tevel status departs from it, and it's as if it was not tevel betolush. And as a result of that, it won't help declaring it truma, because right now it's attached to the ground. Amri le rabbonon la abaye. Im kain, if you can raise the aleph possibility that it could be declared as truma even though it was replanted, well, matsinu truma b'mechuba l'karka, then we have a case of truma being established while attached to the ground, utanan, and we have a teaching that says lo matzino truma b'mechuba l'karka. There is no precedent for truma being declared as truma while attached to the ground. Abaye answers, Omale, ki tanyo hahi, that teaching that we say lo matzinu truma b'chuba l'karka, that teaching doesn't mean that truma cannot be declared while attached, but rather ki tanya hi le'inyan ichuyev misa v'chemesh. That is with regard to someone eating that which was declared as truma while attached to the ground, let us say a zar eats it. In general, a zar, a non-Kohen who eats truma, is chayav misa b'dei shemayim. And if he did it b'shogeg, he has to pay the principal and add a fifth. That's the chomesh. So this idea of a chiyuv misa and chiyuv chomesh, that is what does not exist when mechuba l'karka. If he detaches it so it's no longer attached. And if you have someone that bends over and eats it while it's attached to the ground, it's not considered an achila. Only for an achila do we mechayev someone. Achila is an act of eating. A normal, legitimate act of eating. However, bending over and eating from something that's attached to the ground is abnormal. And therefore, it's not under the heading of achila, and therefore, there wouldn't be a chiyuv of misa and chomesh. So, the original possibility of it being declared as truma and that the shame truma takes hold, that still exists. So the at this point, Rabbi Avoh's question was raised. We saw two sides, two possibilities, and we're not going to rule out either one based on this idea of Ein lo matzinu truma b'mechuba l'karka, because that teaching was with respect only to chiyuv misan chomesh. The Gemara asks a question. This question lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking that appears to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. Umay shno midekosav apinkisa de ilfa. What's different about our case from the case that was recorded in the notebook of Ilfa? What's the case that he recorded? Beitzei nevelas ha'oif ha'tohor. Eggs of a dead kosher variety bird. Let's say a chicken for an example. So you have eggs of a dead chicken. Miktsasun b'chutz and miktsasun b'fnim. A chicken died while it was in the middle of laying an egg. So part of the egg is in and part of the egg is out. Mibifnim, if a person stuck his mouth inside the chicken and ate the egg that was inside, metamin begodim abesabliya, the egg will have a din of the meat of the chicken, and therefore the rule of a dead kosher variety bird is that one who eats it, his clothing become tamei as well. That's metamei begodim abesabliya. One's clothing becomes tamei while one is swallowing the nevelas of tor. Mi bachutz ein metamei begodim abesabliya. However, if one ate the part of the egg that's outside, that's considered separate from the dead chicken and doesn't communicate any tuma. What do we see from here? That this sticking of the mouth into the inside of the chicken and eating the egg is considered an achila. And we don't say botla daito etzel kol adam. So why is it that you said a moment before that one who bends over to eat plants growing from the ground is not chayav misa v'chomesh because of botla daitzel etzel kol adam? The Gemara answers, there's a basic difference. Tolush avidi in shida achili hachi. Something that's detached, like the dead chicken, people will eat in that fashion. Namely, they'll stick their mouths inside the place that the eggs come out and eat from the egg that's still inside the chicken. B'mechubalo avidi in shidachli. However, to bend over and eat from something that's still attached to the ground, that no one would do. As you can see, we have a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new idea. Amrav Tavyumi Bar Kisna Mar Shmuel. Hazorea kilayim be'otzitz sheino nokuv. Oser. One who plants mixed varieties of crops in an unholed flower pot is doing something forbidden. Amar Abaye. Abaye, upon hearing this halacha, says, "Bishlamo yashminan loikemakas mardus midrabanan shapir." It would have been fine if you had told me that one who eats from the kilayim growing in an otzot shenonokuv deserves lashings that are of a rabbinic origin. That's makas mardus shapir. That would be a chiddush. That would be of significance. Ela aser. But simply to say that it's usher, my kamashim lung, what is Shmuel informing me? Demi derabonan havya zriya, that which grows in an otzitz she'enu nakuv is considered a planting. Well, that I know from another Tanaic source, Tanina. That information is already contained in the following Toram Mishe'eno Nokuv Al Hanokuv. If one removed the tithe from an unholed flower pot to cover stuff growing in holed flower pots, Truma V'Achzer V'Yitrom, the shame Truma is Chal on that which he removed from the Eno Nokuv, that which he tithed from the Eno Nokuv. So the fact that it's called Truma, it's true that he has to then take again Truma off from the items that are really chayav, but the fact that the hafrosha from the Eino Nokuv is called Truma, that shows me that that which grows in a flower pot that does not have a hole in it is considered a zriya. And therefore, if you have mixed varieties in the unholed flower pot, and you're telling me it's called a zriya, then certainly it will be usher to do that, to plant mixed varieties. Even if it's not the rice, it's still going to be usher. So that point would seem to be obvious. And therefore, Abaye leaves us with his question on Shmuel's teaching, where Abaye says that what Shmuel says, as it is, just merely usher, there isn't any chiddush in that. The Mishnah. Before reading the Mishnah, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, Dine Chodosh, the rules of Chodosh, Shekoilulim Isur Achila Uktsiro Lifneho Oimer, V'chiyuv Chalo, Shayochim Rak B'chameshes Mine Hadogon. We will learn that the rules concerning Chodosh and the rules concerning Chala, the tithe from dough that's given to a Kohen, apply only to those that are produced from the five specific varieties of grain that this Mishnah mentions. So we see in the Mishnah, number one, Hachitim, two, Hasorim, three, Hakusmin, four, Hashibolas, five, Hashibol Shuel, and five, Hashipon. Hare Elu Chayovin Bechala, these grains, when made into dough, are required to have the Chala tithe removed. Umitstarfin Zeim Zeh, and if you have less than the required quantity, the requisite quantity from one variety, if you have two varieties made together, produced together, kneaded together, they will require the chala tithing. The asurin b'chodosh milifnei ha'omer umiliktzor milifnei ha'pesach. These grains are forbidden to be eaten before the Omer is brought, and harvesting of them is forbidden before Pesach. Im hishrishu kodem l'Omer, ha'Omer matiron. If they took root before the Omer will enable them to be eaten. Im lav, if you have any of these grains planted that have not taken root at the point the Omer is brought, then asurin ad shiovo haomer habo. They're forbidden until next year. The Gemara opens up with describing the different varieties of grain mentioned in the Mishnah. Kusmin, tona, kusmin, which was number three in the list, equals min chitim. It's a type of wheat. Shibola Shual Vishipon, 4 and 5 in the Mishnah, min Saurim. They are a type of barley. This knowledge is important regarding the issue of Tziruf. We mentioned that they would mitstaref to create the necessary shiur, the necessary quantity for challah tithing. So this tells us that only that which is only those that are related to one another would be able to mitstaref. So that means kusmin would mitstaref, would join up with chitim to form the required quantity, and shibola shual and shipon could combine with one another or with barley. The Gemara now gives Aramaic translations of these grains. Kusmin is gulba. Shipon is dishra. Shiboilas shual is shiboile ta'ala. Hani in oirez v'doichen lo. These five varieties of grain are mitzaref and chayav in chala, as opposed to orez and dochan. Orez is often translated as rice. Orez and dochan are not chayav in chala. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that only the five grains are chayav in chala? The topic heading that accompanies this Gemara is Hamokor dechala shayich bechameshes mine hadogon bilvad. The source that the din of chala is binding only upon the five grains mentioned in the Mishnah. So from where do we know this? Omar Reish Lakish, Asya lechem lechem mimatzo. There is a gzera shava from the topic of chala to the topic of matzo. Ksiv hocha, it says in the context of chala, v'hoya ba'acholchem mi'lechem horetz. Uksiv hosam, and with regard to matzah, it says lechem oini. Well, v'hosam gufa min olan. In the case of matzah, how do you know that you fulfill matzah with only the five grains? It's important to establish this, that matzah is relevant only with regard to the five grains, and then this previous gezeirah shava of lechem lechem will make sense. So, omar reish lakish, v'chein tona debe Rabbi Yishmael, v'chein tona debe Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. These all have the following teaching. Omar kro, loy soichal olav chometz shivas yomim toichal olav matzos lechem oini. In this pasuk, there's a reference to chametz and matzah. It's saying that during Pesach, one is not to eat chametz, but yes, eat matzah. From this we learn, dvorim haboyim lidei chimutz, odom yoytze bohen yidei chovosu bePesach. Those types of grains that come to a state of chimutz, sometimes translated as fermentation, those kind of grains one can use to fulfill his matzah obligation on Pesach. Yotsu elu, to the exclusion of orez and dechen, she'en boyin lidei chimutz, elo lidei sirachon. In baking or preparing orez and dochan, they never achieve or never reach a situation or a phenomenon called chimutz, fermentation, but rather they undergo something called sirachon. So since you can't fulfill matzah with orez and dochan, we can make the gzeirah shava between the din of matzah and the din of challah, and say that the din of challah likewise does not apply to orez and dochan. Umitztarfim ze im ze. Tana. We have a Tanaic source, Hatavua, Vakmochim, Vabatsekois, Mitstarfin, Ze, Im, Ze. Lemai Hilchasa. When you speak about grain, flour, and dough joining up with one another, with regard to what are you saying this? As you see, the next few lines are characterized by triangles and double underlines. The No Se Mivne heading appears on the outside margin as follows. You see there a triangle with a double underline. The double underline, you'll notice, is under the word le'inyan. This section of Gemara are deos, lahasbir. These are opinions, different opinions that are coming to explain ha dekotoni hatvuah v'kamochim v'metzekois mitstarfim ze im ze. These are coming to explain what does this source mean. So, turning to the Gemara, Amar Rav Kana, le'inyan chodosh. This source is teaching us the halachas concerning chodosh, that one is not allowed to benefit from these things before the Omer. Rav Yosef Omar le'inyan chometz bePesach, that these things, one, if one has them on Pesach, they would mitzarif, they would join up to form a kezias, on which is the shiur for the prohibition of having chometz. It's noted that tvua, even grains, can become chometz. If you take wheat grains and soak them in water, chometz becomes a reality. Rav Papa Omar le'inyan meiser sheni, de'i ochil le chutz l'choma loki. If these substances, the tvua, the grains, the flour, and the betzekos, the dough, is made from meiser sheni tithe. Meiser sheni is a tithe that is supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Let's say he didn't wait till he got to Yerushalayim, and he ate a quantity of this outside Yerushalayim. So if he eats a sufficient quantity, he will be chayev malchus for eating it outside the choma, the wall of Yerushalayim. So that if you have a, let's say, a chatzi zayas of grain and a chatzi zayas of dough, they'll mitztaref to mechayev him for achilas maiser sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Rova Omar le'inyan tumas oichlin. The teaching of this source is with regard to the quantity of food substance necessary for tumas oichlin to set in. The ha komash malon, and what this source reveals to us is the tvua ukmochim dumya de betzekos, that the nature of the tvua and the kmochim, the tvua are the grains, the kemach is the flour, is to be treated like we treat betzekos, or like a botzek, like dough. Ma hosam uchle be'ene, just like by botzek, it's pure food substance. Only if it's like that, then it can be subject to tumas ochlin. Af hochonami, so too, when speaking about the tevua and the kemach, uchlo be'ene, to the exclusion of the shells of the barley grains and the bran found in flour. In other words, if you have if you have a quantity of grain, but the shear is made up of the shells as well, and without the shells present, you would not have a sufficient quantity for tumas oichlin. Generally speaking, in tumas oichlin, we talk about a kebetza, an egg quantity of food substance. If something has that, then it can communicate tumas oichlin to other kinds of food. So we're teaching here that it's got to be pure food with and without the bran or shell mixed in. V'hotanya, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this. Chita, when it comes to the wheat grain, bein klufa, bein she'ena klufa, mitztarefes. Whether it's peeled or shelled or not, the shell is mitztaref. Se'ora, barley, on the other hand, klufa mitztarefes, she'ena klufa ein mitztarefes. Only peeled barley will be mitztaref, will join up to form a shear of tumas oichlin, and not the case where it's with that it's still with the shell on it. That means ein o klufa. There's a Rashi in the upper part of the page. Sa'ura she'eno klufa eino mitzarefes im shar ochlin likabetza. If you have unshelled barley, it won't join up with other food to complete the kabetza shiur. Vafilu oichel shebesoicha, even the barley grain inside the shell doesn't join up. Mishum deklipa mafsekes, the shell separates it. And that therefore all the food substance in this egg quantity is not really in direct contact with one another. So at this point we have this several pshatim in the Tanaic source that feature Tvua Kmochem and Betsekos, and the last teaching, or the last hesber, last explanation of that concerned Tumas Ochlin, and the ability of these different substances to join up to form a shiur of kebetza of Tumas of Ochlin in order for it to be able to communicate Tuma to other food. And the very last point concerned the shell, particularly the shell of the barley grain. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so that the shell of the barley grain does not join up, that it's not considered food? We have the following Tanaic source. This source deals with Tumas Ochlin, specifically Hechsher Tuma. When does food become fit to absorbing ritual impurity? The Pasuk speaks about food items that get wet, and it says, Al kol zera zerua asher yizorea. And from that we learn, Kederech shebnei Adam moitzien lizria. The food will absorb tuma in the way that the food is taken out to be planted. Chita beklipasa, usaora beklipasa, ve'adoshem beklipasan. We've dashed underlined saora beklipasa. The barley with its shell on it is fit to absorb tumas ochlin. So we see that the shell does join up with the grain itself. And yet above we said that se'ora she'eino klufa ein mitzarefes. So the Gemara resolves these two sources, lo kashya, ha belachos, ha biyaveshos. If it's lach, it's fresh, then it's mitzaref. The Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is that when it's lach, it serves as a shomer lepri, as a shell guarding the pri, and a shomer lepri is considered like the pri itself. Another pshat is that when it's fresh, it's fit to be eaten. If it's dry, though, habi aveshos, then it doesn't, on the one hand, function as a shomer lepri because it will shrivel and fall off, and on the other hand, it's also hard and not edible. And as a result of that, it's not considered a shomer lepri, it's not considered edible, and it's under those circumstances that the previous source said that sa'ora she'enu klufa ein mitzarefes. Ve'asurin b'chodosh milifnei oimer. Minohani mili. From where do we know that only the five grains are subject to the chodosh restriction, the prohibition of benefiting from them, from the new grains prior to the Omer? Omerish Lokish, Asya Lechem, Lechem Mimatza. We have a Gzera Shava between the topics of chodosh and matzah. The word lechem appears in both. And just like we know by Pesach, as we've established above, that matzah comes only from the five grains, so too the Isser Chodosh applies only to the five grains, by virtue of this, Gezer Shava. V'liktzor lifnei ha-Pesach. There is a prohibition of harvesting prior to Pesach, but that prohibition applies to the harvesting of these five grains and not other things. Mino hanimili, from where do you know that the harvesting prohibition is limited to the five grains? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asya Reishis Reishis Mechala. The Pasuk in Vayikra Chof Gimel Pasuk Yud says Reishis Kitzirchem, and the Pasuk in Bamidbar Chof Hei that speaks about Chala also uses the word Reishis. And we know already from the top of the page that challah is restricted to the five varieties. So the din of ktsira also is restricted only to those five varieties. My koidim le'omer. The Mishnah mentioned that asurin b'chodosh lifnei ha'omer. So Rabbi Yonah Omar, koidim ktsiras ha'omer. The prohibition of the new benefiting from the new grains is so until you harvest the grains for the omer, and that Rashi explains is really means that the prohibition exists until Heir Mizrach, the dawning of the 16th of Nisan. Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda Omar that the prohibition of Chodosh is not lifted until the bringing of the Omer. Kodem Havoas Omer. Prior to, it's prohibited until the bringing of the Mincha on the Mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Yonah, the prohibition of Chodosh lasts or is rescinded or is lifted a bit earlier with Heir Mizrach. Rashi explains, "Kodem ktsiras haomer." Rashi, you'll find a few lines up from here. "Avol le'achar ktsiras haomer shori le'achol chodosh." After the omer has been harvested, and the harvesting takes place at night, the night leading into the 16th. So after the harvesting, the omer is mutter. It's mutter. The chodosh is mutter. It's then Rashi says it's shori le'achol chodosh beheir hamizrach. Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda had said that the chodosh remains usur until the bringing of the omer, namely that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you cannot rely on heir mizrach. Tanan, asurin b'chodosh lifnei omer, v'liktzor lifnei pesach. So in this source, there is a reference made to the Isser of Chodosh, and a reference made to the prohibition of harvesting. Bishlamo Lamanda Omar, according to the second approach that spoke about the Isser Chodosh lasting till Havas Omer, I understand Kodem Bishlamo Lamanda Omar Kodem Havas Omer. Hainu delo ka'oriv lehu v'toni lehu. I understand why in this excerpt from the Mishnah the two halachas are taught separately. The Rashi explains Bishlamad amar asura v'achilo arhavo. Hainu delo oriv achilo uktsira ki hadodi. I understand why the dinim of chodosh prohibition with regard to eating and harvesting are not taught together. Mishum diktsira sharya mimotsoi yom tov, because the allowance to harvest new grains starts at an earlier point in time. It starts from motsoi yom tov, the end of the first day of Pesach. V'achila lo sharya, and the eating of the new grains does not become allowed ad hakrovas haomer until sometime during the daytime of the 16th. So being that the heter for ktsira and achila occurs at two separate times, the Mishnah has to teach them as two separate halachas. Elo leman de Omar, but according to the first man de Omar that said that the Isser Achilas Chodosh is up till Kodem Ktsiras Omer, up till the harvesting of the Omer, but once the Omer is harvested, then you can eat the grains. We also know that once the Omer is harvested, you are allowed to harvest other grains. Therefore, l'arvinu v'lisninu. They should have been taught together as follows. Asurin b'chodosh v'liktzor lifnei ha-pesach. That the iser of eating chodesh and the itzer of harvesting the new grains lasts until Pesach, which would tell me that after Pesach, b'moitzoi Pesach, both become mutter. Namely, at the time that you harvest the omer right after the first day of Pesach, at that time, you both become mutter at the same time. So they could have been taught together. This is a very solid question on what we call Manda Omar number one. Therefore, Elo I Itmar, Asefo Itmar. We will see the application immediately. The Sefa of the Mishnah said, Im Hishrishu, the Sefa is the last part of the Mishnah that said, Im Hishrishu, Koidim Lo'imer, Ho'imer Matiran. If grains took root before the Omer is Matir them. Now, in this Sefa, there is just a reference to one point, namely the issue of something having taken root. And it says that if something took root, so the Omer is Matirit. My Koidem Lo'imer. What is meant by taking root before the Omer? So Rabbi Yona Omer Koidem Havoas Omer. There are Girsa changes that if you want to see consistency with the names and actions like before, so you would switch around the activity to conform to what was stated before. But for our purposes, we will just read the text as it is. Rabbi Yona says that the standard of having taken root before the Omer enables it to be mutter with the Omer. So he says that means if it took root before Havoas HaOmer, the bringing of the Omer, Rabbi Yossi Barzav the Omer, Koidem Ktsiras HaOmer. If it took root before the harvesting of the Omer, then the Omer, then the harvesting will enable those grains that took root prior to the harvesting to become mutter. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.